Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship and peace. May the Lord bless our worship together. If you're able, I ask you to please rise. I'm going to start with the invocation and then the first response. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned.
In the keeping them, there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors?
Declare the innocent from being false.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
May be seated and continue with the office.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children through the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please join me in reading the gradual? Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
Holy Gospel recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 26. Remember, 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus shared with his disciples. Jesus said, "Do you not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard. And you will be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Thank you, Van. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue then with the responsory.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord,
because he loved them and he wanted them to have some guideline of how they should live as his people. And one of those Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment goes, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. You ever heard that? Honor your father and your mother? You heard that? Yeah. And if you're a smart little lady, you do that, right? Right. Okay. Now, it says to honor them. Honor is an interesting word. That can mean you know what the word respect is? You respect somebody? Yeah, yeah. So if you honor them, you would be respecting them. Another thing you would do is you would love them. Okay, as they love you, and you would try to then do what pleases God and pleases them. Mm-hmm. That makes sense? Okay, now we unfortunately live in a world today where there's not a whole lot of honoring going on. So if you're honoring your parents, praise the Lord for it, and I congratulate you. But
every day we see in the news and different media where people just don't honor or respect anybody in authority, and they think they can do their own thing, but they can't figure it out. They don't get away with it eventually, right? Okay. So let's have a little word of prayer about that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our Father, and you ask us to honor you, to obey you, to do what your word and will says. And we pray that you be with this young lady and help her to honor her parents and grandparents and teachers and whoever she encounters that's probably older and has some authority, that she would do it willingly. And we pray that also those older people would remember they're to love and honor her and to treat her respectfully. So this is what we will commit to do as we go forward. God be with all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think this is what the goodie box. You have something out of there? Hey, two, they're small. No, okay. I don't want to be accused of being stingy. Thank you very much for coming up. You have a great day. Okay, we'll continue then, I believe, with the next step, right? Is that what's on the docket? Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together to worship you,
to have you speak to us through your word, to have us have an opportunity to speak to you through our prayers and concerns, and then we can join together in praising your holy name. Now we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds to give us understanding, application, and commitment to being your people in mission and ministry. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sure you have heard the phrase, no one is above the law. Wrong. I know somebody who is. Do you? Jesus. Jesus is not only above the law, but what did the lesson say? He came to keep the law, not to abolish it, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Wow, that's a big order, to say the least, that he came for that very purpose. And so we rejoice and give thanks that he did just that. And as we take a look at the law, I never cease to be amazed when things seem to go wrong and people are surprised and start rationalizing why and what could have been done to prevent it from happening in the first place. Not that one shouldn't rationalize and try to determine why it went wrong. The point I want to make is that because all people are sinful, they are incapable of being able to figure things out without Almighty God enabling them to do so. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, his word and his will in the garden, they lost the ability to have perfect discernment to tell the difference between what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. This left it up to God to provide a solution to their failure, a way to restore the broken relationship between God and his people was his job. In Genesis 3:15, we call it the first messianic prophecy, God promised he would send a Savior who would overcome sin, death, and Satan. And all who believe in this promise, this covenant, they would then be saved from sin, death, and Satan, along with eternal damnation. Unfortunately, people kept backsliding by repeatedly going backwards in disobeying and rejecting God, his word, and his will. And God would have to bring people back to believing, following, and serving him. The Old Testament gives us an account of what happened. Today's Old Testament lesson features one of the highlights of God's process of restoration, that is, the giving of the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments deal with our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but if you could keep the first commandment, you would have automatically kept the other nine. But such is not the case. We should have no other gods. That means there should be nothing in our lives that takes precedence over God. And so it says we should fear and love God above all things. Then the second commandment says we should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. We should not abuse it. Well, I don't know about you, but unfortunately, some of the news and media that I watch, the individuals have a pretty bad potty mouth. It brings to mind when I went to school and I worked various jobs, and in one situation I got paired up with this guy to do a job and tried to be friendly, get to know him, but the guy had a potty mouth. So after a couple days and I felt we had established a little rapport, I said, "Charlie, you know, initially just looking at you, you look like a nice guy and looks like you're okay. But I said, when you started talking, your potty mouth just destroyed your image." Wow. He didn't deck me. But he paused and he thought and he said, "You know, you're right. You're right." And so, yeah. And then we also have, and I've appreciated that on the news, what is cursing and what is swearing? Because often people get the two reversed. Swearing involves taking an oath. And upon that oath, you're asking God to do something. Cursing is where you're calling God's damnation down upon somebody. And unfortunately, we hear all too much of that. And so instead, we should glorify God's name and use it to praise Him and to help people see Him as the God they need in their lives. And then we got the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Congratulations to everybody here this morning. You get the booby prize. You are remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But an illustration I've liked to use over the years, unfortunately, it seems fewer people are going to church these days. And one of the reasons might be that they prefer to attend Mount Bedmore rather than to go to church. You know who Mount Bedmore is? "I'd rather stay in Bedmore than to go to church." Yeah, right. And then an elder many years ago told me this little story. He said, "Well, it's this way, Pastor. You know, our church attendance is down a little bit, but," he says, "you know, the people have so many things to do on weekends that they look at their social calendar and they look at all the different activities that are going on. And if they can't find one that they're interested in, they might go to church then as a second choice." That's not what calls us to be doing by God. We are to regularly touch base, not just with worship. Well, think of it this way. How many of you would eat one meal on Sunday and expect you to get you through the week till next Sunday where you get another one? Doesn't work that way. So we need to daily have an opportunity to touch base with God, His word and His will. And if the Lord has blessed us with a spouse or children or a family that we can do that, that's what we should be doing too. We should be remembering God, His blessings, that He's in control and He's the one who can help us in all things. So that sort of groups that first 1, 2, 3, relationship with God. But then we go to the second grouping, 4 through 10. And the fourth one we just heard here, honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now think about that. Doesn't common sense say to you that if you would proceed in an honorable way, this could be respecting all authority, that life would be easier, more meaningful? Because if you go around ticking people off all the time, what's going to happen to you? Sooner or later, somebody's going to probably take you out. And that's not where we want to be headed. So yeah, we need to respect authority. And I never cease to be amazed at individuals. You know, they got all these different shows now you can watch. But people who think they can disobey the law and get away with it. Not going to happen. And if by some long shot you get away with it with the people of this world, guess who knows all things? God. He's omniscient. And so instead, we should seek to honor him and honor each other. And then the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, is the proper Hebrew translation. Murder. And that's pretty serious stuff, because in Matthew it says, you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. Whoa. That's pretty heavy stuff, to say the least. So we need to respect life. And needless to say, that brings in the abortion issue and the right to life. And there again, loving your neighbor as yourself and respecting anybody in authority. Now, there is one exception, Acts 5:29, that says we ought to obey God rather than men. So if, based on God's word, somebody's trying to pull a fast one on you, if it goes against Acts 5:29, you do have a right not to obey. But overall, we're seeking to obey. And then we have the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Well, we need to be sure we got clarification. Adultery is when married people mess around outside of marriage. Now, fornication is where non-married people mess around and don't obey God's law to remain sexually pure until the marriage bed. So, there we got another whole bag of worms that we could go into. And then we have the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. Well, simply put, you shall not try to physically take, trick, deceive somebody out of what is duly theirs. And stealing, some people would agree, some wouldn't, but I believe gambling is stealing. You are deceiving, tricking people out of what is rightfully theirs. And we have, if you're not aware of it, we have a huge increase in gambling. You can gamble online, you can gamble on anything and everywhere, and no, somebody is losing. You are cheating them out of what is rightfully theirs. And then the eighth commandment, we could probably translate that, you shall not gossip. It says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Yeah. And boy, do we love bearing false witness. Anybody here ever play the game telephone? Where you line up a bunch of people and then you whisper to the first person a message and they're supposed to pass it on. And you don't need too many. By the 10th person, the story probably has no resemblance to what was told them to begin with. Yeah. Unfortunately, the bearing witness. Did you hear what so-and-so did? And then so-and-so says to so-and-so, did you hear? And pretty soon, they maybe got them committing some mass crime or atrocity, and it's off the chart. No, God says we should respect again our brother and sister and stick to the truth. And you probably heard that phrase. If you haven't got anything good to say, keep your mouth shut is a good rule. And then we get to the ninth and tenth. It's coveting, desiring to have what belongs to somebody else. And there, too, we can get tricked quite easily into desiring. The advertising world would be dead if they couldn't use desiring to have this and this and this. But here, we're more punctuated in trying to physically take away from somebody their spouse, their children, their slaves, their servants, their animals, you know, and you can read the definitions. So God gave his Ten Commandments, but he didn't stop there. We would be amiss if we'd leave out the close to the commandments. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy unto thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. I think sometimes people forget the repercussions of what they think, say, and do, that it could affect succeeding generations. I remember one parish I served, we had a young couple wanted to join the church, and they had a couple of little children. But his grandfather had been convicted of running a machinery theft business. And so that family's name was judged and stigmatized that they couldn't do much of anything. And so, like our lesson said there, if you have a grievance with your brother or sister, leave your gift at the altar and go and clean up your mess. That's a good guideline for us, because it's so easy for us to think and do hurtful, harmful, bad things rather than to be constructive, helping, and supportive. And so, God has given us these different commandments, and you may or may not be aware, they also have been the bedrock for some pretty major, major documents we should be familiar with. The Magna Carta. If you've never read it, you should read it. Then you have the Mayflower Compact. You have the Declaration of Independence. You have the United States Constitution. Not that they are infallible, but they were based on God, his word, and his law. And yet, we have people who don't know what they say, let alone do what they encourage us to do. They do not take precedence over the Ten Commandments. You should be tuned in to the Ten Commandments first and foremost. But those are things that have expanded, and we're going to be celebrating our 250th anniversary of our country next year. And God has blessed us tremendously enabling us and allowing us to continue to exist. And we pray that he will continue to do so. Then in the other lessons, there are a couple of other things that are touched on too. Anger. We are to control our anger. We can't do it. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to keep that in perspective. We're emotional people, and it's so easy to go off the deep end and become angry with others instead of loving them and trying to work together with them. And so, as we look at God's words, there's many things we could cover here, but we thank God for giving us his holy word and giving us guidelines, but they're not just guidelines. Like I said, they're not just 10 suggestions. God gave them to us because he loves us, and he wanted us to know the difference between right and wrong, true and false, good and evil. And so our prayer today is that he would continue to send his Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds, that we might commit our lives to living for him and sharing our faith with others so that they too might believe and be saved, and one day all of us wind up in heaven with Jesus for eternity. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to join me in standing and singing the Te Deum.
Amen.
drives. In this way, I have inspired to preach the gospel where Christ was not known.
So that I would not be building on someone else's salvation.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father, giver of law and gospel, that we might know the difference between what damns and what saves from sin, death, and Satan. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as shown by your word and will through the Ten Commandments and the two great commandments. Love you above all else and our neighbor as ourself. Lord, in your mercy. Send us your Holy Spirit to help us identify our sinfulness, ask for forgiveness, to assist our forgiveness in living a renewed life, seeking to serve God in word and deed and action. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those dealing with all manner of life's challenges, health issues, family matters, life and death, spiritual, vocational, finances, disaster relief, Christian persecution, world conflict, emotional issues, spiritual warfare involving body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation, circuit, district, synod, and the Christian church at large. Bless, guide, empower, equip, enable the Christian church to be people committed to mission and ministry for the spread of the gospel. Move more to desire full-time service through the church. Thank you for all who have served and continue to serve. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our nation, its leaders, citizens, inhabitants. Move them to function according to your word and will. Give us the gift of discerning wisdom in how we decide and determine to live. Help us follow the motto, in God we trust, for all we are called to do. Lord, in your mercy. We also thank you that you were with the National Youth Gathering, that these young people had this opportunity to gather together. We pray that it was of help and inspiration to them, and that they grew in their faith, and that they can now utilize the things they shared with others. Thank you also for giving them safe travel and fellowship together. Lord, in your mercy. All these things we come and bring before you, trusting in your promise to hear us. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. continue with the college for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governments, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one of us today and always.
Amen.
We'll close then with the last hymn, and after that, the young people would like to share with you on their going to the youth gathering, so we'll continue with that, and then we'll wrap it up. You may be seated and close with the last hymn.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. If you have no church home, we invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. If you are unable to attend our worship service in person, we invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, please call the church at 715-762-4541.